Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Three Peds in a Pod. Thanks for tuning in today. We have a very special episode for you that came in at high demand. So today we're going to talk to you guys all about vaccines. As pediatricians, vaccines are a major part of our everyday practice. With that comes many questions and concerns and even complete fear of vaccinations by some parents. We've heard it all. The flu shot caused my child to get sick. Why do we need to vaccinate against a disease that isn't around anymore? And the biggest question of all, do vaccines cause autism? Before we can get into all that, let's start by sharing some stories that we've heard in our clinic experience. Slavica and Farhin, do you guys want to tell us some of your stories?
Hey, so yeah, one thing that I love amongst many the things I hear in clinic, I don't know if you guys remember a couple years ago, there was a measles outbreak here in Michigan where we're currently doing our residency. And there's a couple of, you know, people that I know who have not vaccinated their kids, particularly against the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. And I suggested that maybe that was a good time to go ahead and get that vaccine. And they kind of said, you know, we don't live in that area. My kid barely goes anywhere. There's no way my kid can get the measles. And I think because we haven't seen a lot of these viruses, because pretty much everyone our generation has been vaccinated, we don't know necessarily how deadly or how scary they can be. And so that tends to make parents a little bit more hesitant.
I've heard that a lot, actually. And I do remember the outbreak and seeing it in our hospital with patients admitted with measles. So it is still around, definitely.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think in clinic, so I see a lot of families that reject the flu vaccine, not as many families rejecting like the regular vaccines. Sometimes they do, I think maybe mostly due to some like cultural beliefs and maybe some other misconceptions about vaccines. But I want to say maybe 50% of the families that I'm seeing are rejecting the flu vaccine. And every time I ask them what their reasoning is to get a better understanding of what their thought process is, they always say, we don't do flu. And I always ask, like, oh, like, what do you mean? Like, you don't do the flu vaccine? Like, we just don't do it. Like, we don't do the flu vaccine. And like, if I try to pry more, they get really upset. Like, they don't want to answer the question. So I guess like there is some sort of concern about the flu vaccine. I think it's they're afraid of like getting sick, or like no one in their family's ever gotten the flu vaccine, so they don't want to get it. But it's always the same story. I don't know if you guys have heard that, but it's always we don't do flu. But yeah,
definitely. I think I've heard that multiple times. I think it becomes like the culture of the family not to get the flu shot, and then it's just something that's passed down, but no one actually knows why they opposed to it. But definitely, I've heard that multiple times. I think a big one that I hear is I vaccinated my older child and they got sick a lot. And so they're worried that the vaccines weakened their child's immune system. So then they don't want any of their younger children to be vaccinated. I definitely have seen that one a lot lately, for sure. So with that, I think that before we can really answer your questions about vaccines, we have to start by explaining a part of the body that has definitely received some major attention lately, the immune system.
So the immune system, it's the body's defense against infection. So to understand how vaccines work, it helps to first look at how the body fights illness. When germs such as bacteria or viruses invade the body, they attack and multiply. And this invasion is called an infection, and it's what causes illness. The immune system uses several tools to fight infection. The blood contains many types of cells, red blood cells for carrying oxygen to tissues and organs, white or immune cells for fighting infection. And these white cells consist of primarily macrophages, B lymphocytes, and T lymphocytes, different types of cells that work in your immune system to fight off infection.
So how do vaccines actually work?
Vaccines help develop immunity by imitating an infection. This type of infection, however, almost never causes actual illness, but it does cause the immune system to produce T lymphocytes and antibodies. Sometimes after getting a vaccine, the imitation infection can cause minor symptoms, such as a fever. Such minor symptoms are normal and should be expected as the body builds immunity. Once the imitation infection goes away, the body is left with a supply of memory T lymphocytes, as well as B lymphocytes that will remember how to fight that disease in the future. However, it typically takes a few weeks for the body to produce T lymphocytes and B lymphocytes after vaccination. Therefore, it is very possible that a person might get infected with a disease just before or just after they got vaccinated, and therefore developing symptoms and getting the disease because the vaccine has not yet had enough time to provide protection to their bodies.
So why do we vaccinate? So because of the advances in medical science, your child can be protected against more diseases than ever before. Some diseases that once injured or killed thousands of children have been eliminated completely, and others are close to extinction, primarily due to the safe and effective vaccines. Polio is one example of the great impact that vaccines have had in the United States. Polio was once America's most feared disease, causing death and paralysis around the country. But today, thanks to vaccination, there are no reports of polio in the United States. So, what are vaccines?
Vaccines contain components of germs, so like small, tiny parts of the germ that cause disease. But they have been either killed or weakened to the point that they are unable to make you sick. Some vaccines contain only a part of the disease or germ. A vaccine stimulates your immune system to produce antibodies, exactly like if you were to be exposed to the disease. After getting vaccinated, you develop immunity to that disease without having to get the disease first. This is what makes vaccines so powerful. Unlike most medicines, which treat or cure diseases, vaccines prevent them. Immunity is the body's way of preventing disease. When your baby is born, his or her immune system is not fully developed, which can put him or her at greater risk for infections. Vaccines reduce your child's risk of infection by working with his or her body's natural defenses to help safely develop immunity to disease.
So a big question that we got a lot was, is natural immunity better than vaccine-acquired immunity?
So in some cases, natural immunity is longer lasting than the immunity gained from vaccination. The risks of natural infection, however, greatly outweigh the risks of immunization for every recommended vaccine. For example, wild measles infection causes encephalitis, otherwise known as inflammation of the brain, for 1 in 1,000 infected individuals. Overall, measles actually kills 2 of every 1,000 people affected. In contrast, the combination MMR vaccine, which covers measles, mumps, and rubella, results in severe allergic reaction only 1 in 1,000,000 vaccinated individuals while preventing measles infection. The benefits of vaccine-acquired immunity extraordinarily outweigh the serious risk of natural infection. Additionally, the HIB, or Haemophilus influenza type B, and tetanus vaccinations actually provide more effective immunity than the natural infection itself.
So another big one is, why do some vaccines require boosters? You know, a lot of parents hate the fact that their kid has to get the same vaccine multiple times. So it's not completely understood why the length of acquired immunity varies with different vaccines. Some offer lifelong immunity with only one dose, while others require boosters in order to maintain immunity. Recent research has suggested that the persistence of immunity against a particular disease may depend on the speed with which the disease typically progresses through the body. So let's say a disease progresses very rapidly, the immune system's memory response may not be able to respond as quickly enough to prevent the infection, unless they've been reminded about the disease fairly recently and are already watching for it. So boosters serve as a reminder to your immune system and help boost the immunity. So another big one. My child was invited to a chickenpox party. Would it be better for my child to get the chickenpox this way? Why do we vaccinate against a mild disease like chickenpox?
Yeah, so the idea of chickenpox parties or pox parties is generally tied to the perception of chickenpox as like a harmless, limited illness. Before the varicella vaccine or chickenpox vaccine became available, however, chickenpox infections required 10,000 hospitalizations and caused more than 100 deaths each year in the U.S. So that's 100 little kids dying from chickenpox every year. Exposing a child to wild chickenpox puts him or her at risk for a severe case of the disease, and that's not something that we want at all. Even uncomplicated cases of chickenpox cause children to miss a week or more of school, and also requires caregivers to miss work to take care of their sick child. So a lot of loss in productivity and your child's learning. Natural infection also means a risk of infecting others, while successful vaccination protects a child against chickenpox without this risk. Children who are infected with chickenpox naturally are contagious. They can spread the disease to other people, not just other children, but also adults who have a higher risk of complications from the disease. Meanwhile, vaccination for chickenpox typically prevents future infection with the disease. In the rare cases where individuals do not develop adequate protection from vaccination to prevent future infection, chickenpox infection is typically mild, results in fewer symptoms, and ends more quickly than natural infection. People with this mild form are contagious, however, and should take care not to expose others to the virus. Another important thing to point out is that if your child is successfully vaccinated for chickenpox, they won't have the ability to get shingles or reactivation of their chickenpox infection at an older age. That this is something that we see in elderly patients. And shingles can be quite debilitating as well. It can cause a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, and is really hard for a lot of the elderly patients that we see. Even sometimes we see it in people our age, like in their 30s or 20s, who are under a lot of stress, or they might be on a lot of medications that put them at risk for getting infections, and they develop shingles. So vaccinating your kid for chickenpox prevents them from ever getting shingles. So we recommend it.
Yeah, a couple of our co-residents had shingles, actually, due to stress. So maybe if you want your kid to go to medical school, I'm just kidding. But
did any of you get chickenpox, like the actual infection?
I had chickenpox.
Oh, you did?
I did. I was like really young and I got it. I'm like, me and like five of my siblings got it at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I had the vaccine. My sister had chickenpox though.
Yeah.
No, I actually never had chickenpox. I got the vaccine and I never had it. I was lucky enough. My husband, however, did get it, and he got it from his cousin. Like, his cousin got chickenpox, and his parents were like, okay, go play with your cousin. You need to get it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's what they used to do, just put everyone together and let them all get chickenpox.
So, actually, I had the vaccine, but I want to say, like, at a young age, at around, what, 4 or 5, and then I want to say when I was, like, 10 years old, I had a rash that was like much milder than chickenpox, but I want to say it was like a mild form of chickenpox, maybe like a mutated virus. I don't know. But I don't know. This is all like questionable. It might have not been chickenpox, but like looking back on it with my medical knowledge now, I feel like I had some sort of milder form. I don't know. It left like I had like scabs like on like my neck and like my hip. And it was, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I actually have a scar or two from chickenpox.
Yeah, I had scars too. I had very, very few of them, but they were very large and they left scars.
Yeah. That's interesting. Maybe you got it, but it was milder because.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Another major question that we always get asked is, can you get a disease from the vaccine that's supposed to prevent it? And why do some vaccines have live pathogens while others have killed pathogens?
So vaccines that are made with killed versions of pathogen or with only a part of the pathogen are not able to cause illness. When a person receives these vaccines, it is impossible for him or her to become ill with a disease. Live attenuated, otherwise known as weakened vaccines, are theoretically capable of causing illness. Because they can still replicate, though not that well, mutation is possible, which can result in a virulent form of the pathogen. However, they are designed with this in mind and attenuated to minimize this possibility. Reversion to virulent form is a problem with some forms of oral polio, which is why only the inactivated form of polio is now used in the United States. It is very important to note that attenuated vaccines can cause serious problems for individuals with weakened immune systems, such as cancer patients. These individuals may receive a killed form of the vaccine if one is available. If not, their doctors may recommend against vaccination. In such cases, individuals rely on herd immunity for protection. As to why some vaccines contain live pathogen and others contain killed pathogens, The reasons vary by illness. However, generally speaking, live attenuated vaccines generate longer lasting immunity than killed vaccines. Thus, killed vaccines are more likely to require boosters to maintain immunity. Killed vaccines, however, also tend to be more stable for storage purposes and can't cause illness. The medical community must weigh these trade-offs in deciding which approach to use against a particular disease.
So regarding the flu shot, one major concern that many parents bring up to us in clinic is their fear of the flu shot, mostly because they think that you can get the flu from the flu shot. Many times it's actually like a simple coincidence that their child became ill with another viral upper respiratory infection following getting the flu shot. So actually, I remember we learned like in toddlers and young kids, they can get up to like 12 viral infections a year. Just because like they're always exposed to other kids, they might go to daycare or they might have siblings. And like, you know, it's hard to get kids to like wash their hands and practice good hygiene. So they can get, if they're getting up to 12 viral infections a year, it's likely one of them will be shortly after they get the flu shot. Right. So a lot of times there is this misconception that the flu shot is causing them to get the flu. But I think a lot of people don't understand is that the actual flu infection tends to be much more severe than a regular viral URI. It tends to be tend to have higher grade fevers, tend to be ill for longer, tend to have more weakness and fatigue. So it is important to get your child vaccinated for the flu because it's usually worse than a regular viral infection. The flu shot takes 2 weeks for full immunity to kick in, and during this time, you may catch the flu as well. That's also something important to note for families. Sometimes you can feel slightly ill after a flu or any vaccine, which is actually a good sign that your body is starting to form immunity to the virus. So all reasons why you may think you're getting sick after the flu shot, but not reasons to not vaccinate.
Definitely. I mean, this year after I got my flu shot, I definitely had body aches and felt like a little ill for maybe a day or two. Then I felt better afterwards. And mm-hmm. we get it every year. And it's always, it works out. I mean, I've never gotten the flu ever since I started getting vaccinated, for sure.
Yeah, same.
So another concern that many parents bring up is, can my baby's immune system handle so many vaccines? And the answer is yes. So vaccines have been studied extensively, and studies demonstrate that infant immune systems can handle receiving many vaccines at once, actually many more than the number that we currently recommend. The immunization schedule is actually based on your baby's ability to generate immune responses, as well as when they are at risk for certain illnesses. So for example, their immunity that's passed down from mom to baby at birth is only temporary. It typically does not include immunity against many of the diseases that we vaccinate for, including polio, hepatitis B, Haemophilus influenza type B, and other diseases that can be prevented by vaccination. And if your child was to get any of these diseases, they can be very, very serious and land them in the hospital. So why is there a new flu shot every single year?
Unlike most vaccines, which contain the most common strains of a given pathogen, if more than one exists, and are rarely changed, the seasonal flu vaccine changes frequently, though one or more of the flu strains in the vaccine may be retained from one year to the next. This is because the strains of influenza viruses that circulate are constantly changing. Each year, researchers choose viruses for the vaccine based on which ones are likely to be circulating over the course of the coming flu season, thus providing protection against the most prevalent strains. So when you get a seasonal flu vaccine, you're usually not getting another dose of the same flu vaccine you were given before. Instead, you're usually getting protection against a whole new batch of flu viruses.
That's definitely important to note. So another buzzword or something that we've been hearing a lot about on the news is, what is herd immunity, and is it real and does it work?
Herd immunity, also known as community immunity, refers to the protection offered to everyone in a community by high vaccination rates. With enough people immunized against a disease, it's difficult for the disease to gain a foothold in the community. This offers some protection to those who are unable to receive vaccinations, including newborns and individuals with chronic illnesses. by reducing the likelihood of an outbreak that would expose them to the disease.
So some vaccines, including the majority of vaccines against influenza, are cultured in chicken eggs. So during the process of creating the vaccine, the majority of the egg protein is removed, but there is some concern that these vaccines may generate an allergic reaction to individuals with an egg allergy. A recent report found that the majority of children with egg allergies who were given a flu shot had no adverse reactions, but about 5% of children in the studied group developed a minor reaction, such as hives, the majority of which resolved with treatment. Additional research is definitely underway to study this even further. Talk to your doctor a little more about this if you're concerned about your child's allergy to eggs. So let's get into the biggest and most feared and most discussed area about vaccines. And this question comes up a lot online and in person in our clinics. Do vaccines cause autism?
So no, vaccines do not cause autism. This possibility was publicized after a 1998 paper by a British physician who claimed to have found evidence that the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine was linked to autism. The potential link has been thoroughly explored. Study after study has found no such link. And the original 1998 study has been formally withdrawn by The Lancet, which had originally published it. Studies were also done regarding the possibility of a link between the preservative thimerosal, which is used in some vaccines, and autism. Again, no such link was found. It's likely that this misconception persists because of the coincidence of timing between certain vaccines and the first appearance of symptoms of autism. So like autism usually presents between ages 12 to 18 months, which is around the same time that your child is getting their first MMR vaccine. So a lot of times families think it's related, but really it's not. That's just when autism is noticeable in your kid.
Right. It's all a coincidence. And I think it's important to note for people who aren't in any sort of scientific field that once your study is published in a paper, that's a huge deal. And very few papers get withdrawn from an actual journal. So the fact that the study was completely removed from all scientific journals, it means that it was completely false and that you should not be following those recommendations at all. So what are some reasons why vaccines would require more than one dose?
There are four reasons that babies and even teens or adults who receive a vaccine for the first time may need more than one dose. For some vaccines, primarily inactivated vaccines, the first dose does not provide as much immunity as possible. So more than one dose is needed to build more complete immunity. The vaccine that protects against the bacteria HIV or Haemophilus influenza type B, which causes meningitis, is a good example of this. For some vaccines, after a while, immunity begins to wear off. At that point, a booster dose is needed to bring immunity levels back up. This booster dose usually occurs several years after the initial series of vaccine doses is given. For example, in the case of DTaP vaccination, which protects against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, the initial series of four shots that children receive as part of their infant immunizations helps build immunity, but a booster dose is needed at 4 years through 6 years. Another booster against disease is needed at 11 years or 12 years of age. This booster for older children and teens and adults too is called Tdap. For some vaccines, primarily live vaccines, studies have shown that more than one dose is needed for everyone to develop the best immune response. For example, after one dose of MMR vaccine, some people may not develop enough antibodies to fight off infection. The second dose helps make sure that everyone else is protected. Finally, in the case of flu vaccines, adults and children 6 months of age or older need to get a dose every year. Children 6 months through 8 years old who have never gotten a flu vaccine in the past or who have only gotten one dose in past years need two doses the very first year they're vaccinated. Then an annual flu vaccination is needed because the flu virus causing disease may be different from season to season. Every year, flu vaccines are made to protect against viruses that research suggests will be most common. Also, the immunity a child gets from a flu vaccination wears off over time. Getting a flu vaccine every year helps keep a child protected, even if the vaccine virus doesn't change from one season to the next.
So what's the bottom line? Some people believe that naturally acquired immunity, which is immunity from having the disease itself, is better than immunity provided by vaccines. However, natural infections can cause severe complications and can even be deadly. This is true even for diseases that many people perceive to be mild, such as chickenpox. It's impossible to predict who will get a serious infection that may lead to hospitalization. Vaccines, like many other medications, can cause side effects. The most common side effects, however, are very mild. However, many vaccine-preventable disease symptoms can be serious or even deadly. Although many of these diseases are rare in this country, they do circulate around the world and can be brought to the U.S., putting unvaccinated children at risk. Even with advances in healthcare, the diseases that vaccines prevent can still be very serious, and vaccination is the best way to prevent them. So thank you for tuning into our episode today. We hope you guys enjoyed it and learned a lot about vaccines. We hope we answered all of your questions. But if we missed any of your questions, please feel free to shoot us a message on Facebook or Instagram at 3PedsInAPod. We love hearing from you guys, and tune in for our next episodes coming soon.
Stay in the know on the go with 3PedsInAPod.